the subject, Thankful for Christ. I'm calling your attention to Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. One of the greatest needs of the present hour is a heartfelt thankfulness to God for Christ and His accompanying blessings. Looking at the masses of people, observing their attitudes and analyzing their spirits, we discover the tragic condition of thanklessness. A little girl said, "Daddy, I'm going to count the stars." "Very well," he said, "go ahead." By and by, he heard her counting, 223, 224. "Oh dear," she said, "I had no idea there were so many." I'm sure that if most of us would begin to count our benefits, we should have to sigh, not with sorrow, but burdened with goodness, and say, "I have no idea that there were so many blessings coming to me from God through Christ." I'm sure it would help each one of us if we would turn anew to observe the Pilgrim Fathers in their sacrifice and hardship. The Day of Thanksgiving, which we observe, originated in a humble spirit of those early settlers who came to this part of the world in search of religious liberty. There were 102 passengers on the Mayflower, a frail craft of only 80 feet in length. This little band of pilgrims was soon suffering a more severe persecution than that from which they were fleeing, namely the rigors of a New England winter in the year 1620. Their crude cabin homes were not strong enough to properly protect them from the lashing winds and bitter cold. More than half their number is said to have perished during the first year. However, they possessed a spirit of indomitable courage. They buried the dead at night and leveled the graves so that hostile Indians might not know that their numbers were being piteously reduced. Finally, the first awful winter passed, and with the coming of spring, the singing of birds, and the bursting of buds, hope was renewed. When the fall crop had been gathered, Governor Bradford of Plymouth Colony decreed a day of thanksgiving. The announcement produced beehive activity within the colony. The women spent many days before the event baking and roasting. Even the children are said to have been kept busy turning the roasts in front of the open fires. Today we are 360 years removed from those dark days of travail. As Americans, we have countless reasons for thankfulness to God. I fear, however, that in too many instances we've lost the spirit of those early fathers. All too many times, we have jealousy, greed, graft, instead of sacrifice, courage, devotion. Instead of being thankful for what we have and for what God has been doing for us, we grumble and growl because we don't have more. Going through the vista of years since Plymouth Rock, we have multiplied reasons for thankfulness and appreciation to our God. However, before I speak of some things for which we should be thankful, I want to say that there are things and conditions for which we cannot be thankful. Personally, I cannot be thankful for the modernistic teachers, preachers, and people who deny the virgin birth, the divinity of Christ, the efficaciousness of the blood, the fact that the Scriptures are inspired, the realities of Christian experience in regeneration, and the facts of literal judgment, a literal heaven and a literal hell. America was not built on such denials of the faith, neither can she stand with individuals in the saddle who make these denials to congregations, students, and people in general. We hear a lot of cheap, chaffy arguments against the teaching of the Bible and the mentioning of religion in public schools. It's time we realize that anti-religious teachings and attitudes in our pulpits should be banished. It isn't too much of Christ that is ruining our nation, but too little of Him. Not too long ago, a professor of psychology in one of our universities said to his class one morning, "If you young people have anything that you call religion, you can just as well throw it overboard, for you will not have it when you will have finished this course of study." Another professor said to a group of students, "If you young people have anything that you call souls, you may hitch them outside before coming to this lecture room. You'll have no use for them here." There's so much of this kind of sneer, not only at religion, but at the idea of the existence of a human soul. Christ and his blood are mocked, derided, dragged in the dirt of ridicule, slander, blasphemy. Such attitudes, doctrines, presentations will never, never save America, but if permitted to increase and abound, they certainly will put us on the lightning express of doom and destruction. I say again, we cannot be thankful for such ideas, theories, and presentations. Neither can I be thankful for the present-day skim milk and water social gospel. The unity and understanding of peoples and nations, the thought of the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, a high standard of ethics and morals, outward refinement and conduct, are all very commendable. They're perfectly right in their places. But we must remember that all these are the products of Christianity and not Christianity itself. Too many people want the product without going through the necessary procedure to secure it. Many people are willing to wear the label of religion, but they do not have religion. When Christ is taken out of Christianity, it becomes a veneered nothing. That's exactly what the social gospel is, and for this I say we can't be thankful. None of us should be thankful for the forces that are undermining the foundations of this nation and the world. Communism and other isms have been eating at the sills of the world like termites. Any nation or organization within a nation that seeks to crush the Christian church and undermine the faith of people in those things which are sacred and eternal is indeed extremely dangerous. Some of these anti-God, anti-American organizations have shown a cartoon where red soldiers are kicking over churches, in another is kicking God off the earth. Others show God with the nails in his hands and feet being swept away by the red whirlwind. One where a workman is dumping Christ out of a red wheelbarrow into the refuse. Another shows the Lord's Supper turned into a drunken carousal in which Christ is called the first moonshiner. My friends, we cannot be thankful for individuals who will line themselves up with such organizations to promote the doctrine of Satan. We should not be thankful for the present moral breakdown, for the abounding delinquency, the ever-increasing divorce, the curse of drunkenness, and the prevalence and practice of homosexuality. America, the Dominion of Canada, Great Britain, and the nations of the world need to realize afresh that God Almighty has forbidden the nefarious traffic of liquor. There should be no general tolerance of this monstrous evil. Nations should arise and rid themselves of this terrible infection of society. It's more to be dreaded than cancer. It is more cruel than death. The nicotine that eats at the health and vitals of both American youth and adults should be deeply and prayerfully deplored. For the prevalence of these things, we cannot be thankful. No one who has had a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of his heart, the filling of the Holy Spirit can be thankful for the present-day apostasy among professing Christians. We've come to a time when people seem to stand for nothing. They fail to declare themselves. From pulpit and pew, we hear them decrying experience in religion. Instead of definite crisis experiences, religion is being made a thing merely of mental assent, cheap believism, and growth. Neither can God be thankful and approve the present-day apostasy and lukewarmness, for he said to the Laodicean church, which represents the church of this age, "Because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." These and many other things are those, I say, for which we cannot be thankful. Now, secondly, and in a more delightful strain, there are things, however, for which we can be thankful. We should be profoundly thankful for the pilgrims of 1620, who, while they made no pretense of social or educational position, were extremely and sincerely devout. They were humble and possessed a firm faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should also be greatly thankful for all of the faithful pilgrims from that time on to this very moment. There still remains a glow of faith in the soul of America waiting to be fanned into a flame. Even during this present crisis, we have been a favored group. God has showered His spiritual blessings upon us, and we ought to be thankful people, yea, even to the extent that we should rise up as one man, giving Him our hearts and hands in devotion, in proper demeanor, and in aggressive dedication to the upbuilding of the kingdom of our Christ. We could speak almost endlessly of the plenty, beauty, variety, history, prosperity of the nation. She was founded, fed, and favored by God. Let's be thankful to God for this nation in which we live, and let's refuse to give in to the heretics who seek to undermine and destroy this God-blessed continent. May God grant that those who are seeking to undermine will soon come to a realization of their condition in the sight of God, and as the Apostle Paul, be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Nothing but the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ, individually experienced by all, will keep our nation safe, sound, and secure. At this Thanksgiving time, we should thank God anew for the remaining godliness which exists in many of the homes of our nation. There are still homes where thanks is returned at the table. Family worship is the order of the day. The Word of God has its rightful place. Carefulness is used in the selection of reading matter. Caution is given to the type of music that is placed on the piano and to the kind of radio and television programs that are allowed. In fact, in every phase of the home life, consideration is given to the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy, the questionable and that which is right. Midweek prayer services are attended. There is never a thought of neglecting the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day unless it's for sickness or some other matter which is of a very serious nature. This is the type of home upon which our nation has been built, and the only type of home on which she can successfully stand. We should thank God for the remaining godliness in communities, for businessmen who are still honest and upright, for men in our nation who are devout and sincere, congressmen and senators who believe in prayer. God still has His people, praise the Lord, who are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Were it not for them, surely, surely the darkness would be terrible and the corruption unbearable. I'm sure I would be most ungrateful also if I did not mention the fact of good crops. Where is there a people better fed, better clothed, better sheltered? A distinguished foreigner returning home from a visit to this country said, "One fault I find with the Americans is that they are so beastly prosperous." Indeed, God has prospered us materially. As a nation, we can appropriately say of God, "He hath not dealt so with any nation. Thou crownest the year with goodness." Let me say emphatically that we need to be thankful for the spiritual blessings which come through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ is the world's greatest blessing. He's the world's greatest benefit. What if Christ had not come? I'm sure it would be impossible to imagine a world without Bethlehem's manger and without the old rugged cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Without Him, we would be in moral midnight. Dark heathenism would prevail universally. Thank God He has come. He has come as the forgiver of sins, the dispeller of darkness, the liberator from sin, and the deliverer from the results caused by sin. He is here to be with us in our trials, temptations, sorrows, pains, labors, and service. He is God with us to comfort, enlighten, protect, and defend. He is with us in life and in death. He is with us and in us, and we with Him and in Him. To take away Christ leaves us without Christianity, and our nation without Christianity spells utter ruin. Tennyson met a Christian lady and said, "What's the news?" She replied, "All the news I know worthwhile is that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He replied, "That's good news, true news, old news, and new news." Let's love Him, serve Him, and wait faithfully for His soon appearing. A good man was dying. His children were blessedly saved and had gathered around his bed. They were quiet, watching their father as he was about to exchange worlds. After a few minutes of quietness, he was trying to say something. Finally, he said, "Bring, bring, bring." Then with a clear voice, he said, "Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." And he was gone. May God help us to do thus today with the Christ of God. Christ is not only the greatest need of our world, but my listener, He is your greatest need.